Everybody can relax. Gambit has arrived. Grab a few beignets and sit back. You're listening to Gamertag Radio, mon ami.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1335. This is your host, Danny Pena, and this is going to be a solo episode, but I do have a special guest. His name is AJ Ocasio. He worked on multiple video games and also TV shows. So the most recent TV show is X-Men 97. Now, for video game side, he worked on Lego Star Wars, also Final Fantasy Remake and Rebirth, Uncharted movie, and a couple other ones they worked on during his career. But in this episode, we talked about all that. Also, you know, how has it been working on the working on this project, the X-Men 97? And it was a great conversation. So I'm gonna play here only on Gamertag Radio. But I'll be back later this week with a very special surprise episode. It's a pretty big one. Not gonna say what it is or not. Just make sure to tune in, subscribe to the podcast, follow us on any social media or on Discord. Go to Discord there. We have the link under the description of this episode, and you could join and discuss with other GTR members about our content. All right. Now, if you have any comments, feedback, questions, here's how you could contact us and be part of Fan Mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I'm going to play my interview with AJ, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please let me know your thoughts about it, and we'll be back next time with more content and a couple surprises. All right. Until next time, everyone, enjoy the interview.
This is Gambit. Make sure you have your beignets and your cafe au lait ready, mon ami, because you're listening to Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have a special guest here, AJ Ocasio. AJ, what's up, man? Welcome,
hey,
man. This is the first time you're on our show, man.
Yes, no, yeah. I've only been on your real life, I guess.
A couple times,
yeah. Guest starring on your real life.
Yeah, definitely. So for those that don't know, AJ, I know you have a long list of projects that you worked on in the past. I know recently you're playing as Gambit, the new X-Men
Crazy.
97 series, by the way. Amazing show, by the way.
It's so good.
So good.
I have nothing to do with the writing, but I will say when I read the first script, I was like, you guys nailed it. Like, I went into, this is even before my audition, I like went in and spoke to whoever was there on the Zoom because I was auditioning in a studio, but I was just like, you guys nailed it. Like, I'm not trying to say this to get the part. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I had goosebumps the whole time. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad they were able to, you know. Taking something from a script to production and having it land still is like such an achievement. But yeah, so good.
Yeah, and I know that you worked on not only TV shows, I believe you also worked on a couple of video games too. And I've seen
yes.
a couple of lists there. Actually, most recently was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which
yes.
is a fantastic, fantastic game too, man. But let's talk about the first time we met. So we have a couple of mutual friends and we went out and we were hanging out there. And we were at a restaurant, I believe, while we were eating, taking a break from walking around and everything. And I looked at AJ. I'm like, man, you look so familiar. I don't know from where. and you were like, oh, yeah. Like, wait a minute. Were you involved with Back to the Future, the game with
so
Delta
funny.
Games? Which was that your first project ever?
Yeah, that was it. That was my very, very first thing, which is so strange, because before that, it's like I went to film school and was doing impressions for friends and stuff. And is my mic too loud or am I okay? I just realized.
No, you're good.
I can
fix it.
It's all but
I do hear myself sometimes. I think because you have your headphones like this.
Oh,
so I can hear.
I could put
one, two. See, I don't hear myself anymore.
Oh, crazy. All right.
Yeah, it's all good. But so go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So yeah, I mean, I was in film school up and until before that, and then I had like a year off, and I saw the press thing where they were like doing a Back to the Future video game, and a bunch of people reached out like, "Did you see this?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's really cool." And then my cousin Johnny was like, "You should audition," and I was like, "I don't have a resume, I don't have an agent, I don't have anything." And then he was like, "Nah, you should really audition." I was like, "Okay." So I like went and found the website. With Telltale Games, it's just had people's phone numbers. This is like back in the day where you'd put your own phone number on your YouTube video, you know, where that was like a thing and it was okay. So I just called them up and left a message, and they were like, "Hey, can you send it an MP3? And I don't know if you've heard this story. You can stop me.
Oh,
if
yeah.
It's boring.
No, it's all good. No, keep it up. There's a lot of people that probably don't know.
I feel like I've told it so many times that I know that it's arrogant to think like everyone's heard this, but I just left a message and they said, "Can you audition?" Send an MP3. So I did, and then didn't hear anything back. And then like 3 months later, they're like, "Hey, can you audition one more time?" And I was like, "I thought you forgot about me." And then I got it, and it was weird and crazy. And I stopped eating for like a week and a half because I was so nervous. And wild, absolutely wild.
Yeah. So ever since you made that move and started working on that project, that's when all the other projects started coming up slowly.
Not at all.
Or it took like some time.
Yeah, definitely.
Some time to get those extra gigs and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, because people were like, "Oh, cool, you did like a Marty McFly impression. That's nice." And that's how I met our friend Elise, is I was working as an editor at Game Trailers for like 2 or 3 years after the Marty thing, because I was just, I think people have this assumption that if you do one thing, you're like set, you know, where it's like, you know, you make like $800 off a video game and it's like, well, okay, I need to eat again, you know. But it took a while to get an agent and to sort of prove that I could do more than just an impression of Michael J. Fox. So certainly the roles weren't coming in. But I was lucky that after like 2 or 3 years, I was on the show The Croods. And then that sort of became the stepping stone for more things. But, even still, I don't get offers. I audition like everyone else.
Yeah, that's cool, man. But let's talk about how you managed to get this, X-Men 97 gig, man. Cause that is wild. First of all, when I heard the announcement about this series, I love the old series from back in the 90s and stuff.
Same.
How the pressure of like auditioning and this, because that's an iconic that one and Batman, the old 90s Batman.
Yeah.
That was like, to me, was like the most iconic animated cartoon from back then, from like Marvel and stuff like that. How was that process of
terrifying
auditioning to that? What you, do you audition as that character, or you had like audition to like other characters before getting this Gambit opportunity?
Yeah, so it's weird because, okay, so they sent us like a packet of like 20 different characters, and they were all under fake names, but of course I immediately was like, "Oh, okay, that's Cyclops, that's Rogue, that's, you know."
Yeah.
But it was thinly veiled, because they basically had the names and then some lines and then voice reference. And the voice reference was just a direct YouTube link to like, "This is what we want for Gambit or Wolverine," or, and they had everyone. It wasn't like they just were like, "We got the original voice actors." Like, we all had to audition. But which is not something I would ever recommend, only auditioned for Gambit, because he was the only one I was like, if I'm going to be part of an X-Men thing, which is obviously huge, you'd want to be anything in X-Men. It's like, yes, make me any part of X-Men. I was just like, I just want to be Gambit. Which is so, I would never recommend anyone do that. It's always, you know, I've been in other things where it's like, "Oh, I'd love to be Spider-Man, but I'll gladly play, you know, Harry Osborn," whatever it is. Not that I've done that, but, you know, that was basically, I just sat with that audition and listened to Chris Potter stuff over and over again and did it like a million times and then just sent it away. You know, it was the kind of thing where you just, it's like a t-shirt cannon where you just fire it off into the audience and go, "I hope someone got it." It was an extremely blasé sort of like, "Well, there it goes." So there was nothing special. I didn't like call the producers or anything. It was just like everyone else. I stood in line.
That's crazy, man.
It's crazy.
And how long it took the process for them to call you back? the team?
I want to say at least a month, maybe a couple months. Because hey, you fire it off, and then they listen to hundreds or thousands of auditions. Because as far as I'm aware, it wasn't like a closed audition process. Like for Han Solo stuff, I know I was on like a very small list, and then that's how I started doing those. Was just like, all right, we've got like 20 people or whatever. But with this, it was just everyone everywhere was auditioning for it. Which now that I say that out loud, makes me feel sick to my stomach. But yeah. It's terrifying.
Wait, you said Han Solo, that was for like the Lego Star Wars one or the other projects?
I've done a bunch of different. So for Han, I did like Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, that one that came out last year.
Yeah.
Where I got to do young and old Han, which was insane. And I've done a bunch of Star Wars like specials that are on Disney Plus, and then Forces of Destiny was like these little shorts on YouTube and Disney Plus. And yeah. But
that's cool. That's cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man, like that, and it started because of the Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly, and look at all these iconic characters, which Marty McFly is also an iconic character too.
But like,
it is crazy seeing the list of stuff that you've done, man.
it's I don't believe it, you know. Because they're not like, I did a character. Like, these are things I'm obsessed with, you know, like these are.
Sure.
Because even like I was lucky to do just a little. I did a video game as Figment. I don't know. Do you know Figment from this guy? This is one of my childhood toys. Is Figment from?
Oh yes, yes, yeah. I remember. Yes, yeah,
I remember. That was like an obsession for me as a kid. I was so fascinated by his voice, and even before the auditions for that came up, I had already worked on a Figment voice match, and so I just when that eventually came up, I was like, oh. This is something I've been doing in my closet for fun, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
So these are things there's like 10 voices. At some point I'll plateau where it's like, well, that's everyone, you know, like, I don't know, everyone I've done an impression of. But it's very lucky that these things are getting sort of revitalized and rejuvenated because these are things I'm obsessed with. It's very weird.
No, that's awesome. Was there any, out of all the stuff that you worked on, was there one character was like the most difficult one for you to do voiceover on that one?
Difficult?
Or like stressful? Like, oh my
Gambit.
God.
Gambit. Gambit's definitely Gambit? The most stressful because he's, you're sort of straddling the line between what Chris Potter had done in the original, which is his own kind of thing, and then what does a Cajun accent sound like, and what is the modern expectations of what a Cajun character should sound like? So sort of walking that tightrope between what came before and how people hear him in their head, with also trying to incorporate like dialogue, but phrases and little things that are from Cajun culture, or trying to get that in there. And, you know, some things don't make it or things get edited and stuff, but just trying to bring as much vocabulary as I can to that is stressful. You know, it's a whole section of people in the world that are listening to that and going, that's not right. That stresses me out. Plus also just, it's Gambit. We all grew up hearing Gambit. It's something that, you know, like Kevin Conroy's Batman or something, you just know it. And anything that's not that is going to be disappointing. You just want to hear that again. So that's the unfortunate position I keep thrusting myself into, where people are comparing you to something that is the definitive version, is always a lot of stress. With Marty or Han or any of that stuff, it's just, it's a lot of pressure.
When you work on a project like this, do you usually record at a studio, at a different studio, or you usually work on recording everything from home on a project like this, or in other projects?
It depends. I mean, for this, I think all in studio. I kind of hate recording from home because then I got to mess with the tech and adjust the levels and stuff. Even this, I'm like, is my microphone too hot? This was, I think, entirely in studio, thankfully, because we were sort of starting it right as like COVID was kind of like, all right, you can come into a studio, but you have to like wear a bag on your head and like, you know, someone has to hose you down as you go in. I think all of X-Men was in studio, but some of the other stuff like Croods, and I worked on the Uncharted movie as like Tom Holland's voice double, was like almost all in my closet, and Spider-Man stuff. And yeah, I've done a bunch of weird, all throughout the pandemic, I was in my closet being like, all right, this is going to. So if you watch Uncharted, there's voiceover from me as Tom Holland from my closet. I've been like flying around, and same with Spider-Man, where it's just like, oh, I did some just little background dubs and stuff for him. And it's like, oh, that was me in my closet. It's just really weird.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that question because sometimes voice actors are not allowed to say those things, and some are okay that, yeah, you could talk about it.
So about the was closet that, or
no, not the closet, but more of like, oh, I've done, you know, stuff for like Uncharted, the movie or you know, stuff like that.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, to be honest, but no one ever said don't say it. I mean, it's kind of like an open secret that there are times where an actor is unavailable. And it's just logistics where it's like, yeah, they're so busy that it's like, we just need someone to make this oof or this like, hey, look out. And it's not, there's nothing, what's the word I'm looking for? Deceptive about it, other than it's like, we just need to fill this in for the edit, you know, and we couldn't track this person down. So that's why with voice matchers, we'll often, there's like weird things I'm done, like where there's a character in Transformers where it's just like they're falling off a cliff or whatever. It's just like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're really doing a performance. You're just inserting a noise on their behalf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you change the voice or they add like special effects on that to make it like during the mix down?
Oh, I mean, you're just doing a voice match. So hopefully it just sounds, you know, you're doing an impression essentially. But with voice matching, it's like, there's impressions which are like a broad, you know, you're kind of doing a broad version of someone, but with voice matching, it's supposed to like sonically sound exactly like them. So you we'll often do a pretty lengthy process of matching the voices, and then so hopefully when you go in, they're like, we'll do that, you know, mm-hmm, do mm-hmm. Tom Holland or Chris Pratt or whoever I'm doing and, you know, in whatever situation they're in.
Yeah, so I know you worked on a lot of video games and like TV shows, movies, and stuff like that. Which one do you think has been like the most exciting out of all of it? Like from the gaming side, the TV or movie side for you? That's like, which one has been like your favorites so far?
So like physical experience, like joy of like being there was God of War for sure. Because it was like some of my closest friends now are from working on God of War because I was involved in that process long before I was involved in it like as a character. So because I was basically standing in for Kratos and Atreus and other characters as they were developing the story and blocking the scenes and stuff, and it was a lot of just me with the previs team and some other friends just sort of rolling around in mocap suits and sorting things out, because that game Ragnarok has a lot of one camera shots, or it's all one shot. And so it's just sort of like this boot camp of fun. It's not even like, how do I say this? Like, it's not glorious in the sense that it's like, ah, yes, I am an actor. It's just rough and tumble and fun. And so the joy in that, because I love creating things. And so getting to talk about like, okay, well, if the mermaid's up here, I should be down here. And then when I look over here, you know, this guy's 8 feet tall, so I have to hand the box up here, but he's actually 3 feet tall in real life. So there's a lot of like fun and games with that sort of stuff. And Jedi Survivor I worked on for a long time, and there was the same sort of thing. It's all behind the scenes, just kind of, you know, playing with lightsabers, and now you're a Jawa, and now you're I did like all of Cal Kestis's previs stuff, and so it's just fun. I mean, I'm like moving a baseball bat around like I got a lightsaber, so
yeah,
the physical joy of getting to do that stuff is unparalleled. But then outside of that, I mean, for video games, doing Lego Star Wars was just an absolute surreal highlight, because I was recreating all of Harrison Ford's iconic lines, which talk about pressure. But the greatest, and this is like a self pat on the back, the greatest thing that happened to me was there was a few times where they would play the reference, and then so like they play a clip of Harrison Ford in the movie, and then I would do my version of it. And there was a handful of times where my buddy Matt Wood, who was the director, was just like, all right, AJ, go ahead, do it. And I was like, I just did it. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, that was me on the third one or the fourth, you know, whatever it is. And he was like, I thought it was just playing the reference over and over again. I'm like, yes.
See,
and that happened a handful
of
times.
Yeah, that's how you know that, like, okay, this guy killed him.
It was, I mean, like, what a compliment. And the same thing happened with my agent, where there was for older Han Solo, she sent me on audition and I sent my MP3 back. And she was like, hey, honey, you sent me the reference. And I was like, no, that's me.
That's
I was like,
sick.
That's awesome. I was like, was no reference file for that specific thing. So I was like, yes, that's awesome. So that was, but just as far as like joyfulness, that was such a fun, silly, because Lego also is who doesn't love Lego?
It's everybody loves Lego. And I know, those games are fun.
Like, they're just so much fun.
It's the perfect game to play with family, everybody getting together locally and just play with it. It's great.
It crosses all generations in a way that so few things do. And yeah, I'm obsessed with Lego, and I've gotten to do, if you go to like Lego, Legoland, I'm Emmett in all the rides, and like you can get like a phone call from Emmett, like, "Hey, everyone, wake up." Like, so I'm like deeply entrenched in Lego in a way that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of upcoming voice actors that, you know, they want to start, you know, getting opportunities like this. And look, I'm not saying for you to call a studio and just have a voice, voice message. That's like unheard of, honestly. But what advice you would give them, like for those that, you know, want to get these type of opportunities, you know, what are the things that you think will be helpful for them to stand out? Because there's so many talented voice actors out there, you know?
Yeah, it's hard because I mean, I'm the worst person to ask because the way I got into it was so unconventional. But I think that it really just comes down to acting. You need to know how to act, which is such a key component to all of this. As people are like, "I got a silly voice," and I'm like, you know, or even just doing impressions. Like, you can do a Rick and Morty impression or, you know, Peter Griffin all day. But like, if you can't take material or like written words and find a million ways to do it and make it feel alive, it's just not going to matter. And that's something that I feel like people consistently overlook. Cause so many people make those like TikTok videos and YouTubes where they're just doing the lines from the thing, which is impressive in its own way. But it's like the thing people are really looking for is if you can do your own stuff or like do, you know, take those kinds of characters and maybe mesh them into something, take Yoda and Jeff Goldblum and put them together to, you know, like take these things and make your own stuff out of it. So, but I guess advice wise, I would say make a reel, you know, like less than a minute long. That's what agents are looking for. And find what's unique about your own voice. We all have my talking voice sucks. Like as far as how it just, I just
it
sound
sounds
like
great. It sounds great.
Does it? I feel like I hate my own talking voice and there's nothing miraculous about it, but I've figured out ways to move it around and place it. And that's a big thing is like learning what's unique about your sound and using that. I mean, there's plenty of voice actors who just figured out a sound and then they use that for everything. And it's that is totally viable. But also another big thing is just don't be weird. You know, like that's a weird. It's like don't be weird or creepy or there's so many people that are too aggressive or too, they want to be noticed so bad. And it's like, let your talent speak for itself. And I know that there's a certain amount of wanting to stand out, but you can also put yourself in a position where people are kind of scared of you or freaked out. And I feel like that's something people don't really talk about is you have to also be a person people want to work with. And so being kind and not being overly assertive about your, like, look at what I could do. I could do it. Like, all right, you know, people have to work with you for years, possibly. So you just got to make sure that you're also maintaining you're a nice person is kind of, I guess, what I'm getting at. Is another thing that's underestimated is just be kind and people should want to grab coffee with you and be like, I really like you. At least that's what I aspire to or hope for is people are like, oh, we're into the same stuff. As opposed to being like, hey, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to do a monologue of here's 1,000 voices in 1 second. And it's like, all right, I want to go home.
Yeah. Well, is there any projects that you would love to be part of? That of things like you heard in the background, you know, like things that might be popping off? Like you're allowed to talk about.
I don't know.
Because it looks like you're always getting something.
I'm glad that appears that way. Well, because it's so wild because it's like.
Yeah.
The illusion of that is not lost on. I guess it's not lost on me because I. Like Gremlins, like I've done recording that like years ago and it's like we're still waiting for season 2 to come out. So for me, it's a couple weeks of work or a couple days and then it disappears for a long time and then it comes back. And so there's this illusion of that. But I mean, for me, honestly, just I love doing motion capture. It's like the most fun I've ever had acting. And so getting to do something in that vein that's maybe my own character, like doing Skeeldor on God of War was so much fun because my buddy Eric and Matt, who were the writers and directors, were just like, just cast AJ as his character. And I was like, what? Because I've been around them for so long and we were friends and they were like, just make him the character. And so I got to, when I asked them, I was like, what do you guys want me to do with this guy? They were like, just be you. And I was like, oh, okay.
No, that's cool.
But doing more stuff like that, obviously I'm obsessed with like the Rocketeer and Indiana Jones. I would love to do something with those guys, but there's not anything I'm hearing about with them. But yeah, Imagineering stuff. I love Imagineering. Anything I could do with them, I'm always like, yes, please.
yeah.
But I just feel fortunate to be, I mean, Gambit right now is my main focus where I'm like, this is the best.
Oh, this is the best. And let me ask you this. Crazy. Like when you started recording this, did you get to see the video of the actual of the series like while recording, or is there something
not at all.
Or it's more of like read a script, go with this, and they'll tell you what to do, right? Like,
yeah,
so when you got to see the final product is when they did like a press tour or something like that, a premiere. That
was it was somewhere in the middle, because it's okay. So there's we do the script. Basically, what the wild thing to me is what you hear in the first episode or two is my audition, which is crazy.
What?
So
like really?
Which is really, really bizarre. I know we did pickups and stuff. I know not all of it is. There was like a moment where he throws the beignet and stuff. That's like that some of that was pickups. But like I went in, did the audition for the first two episodes. And then they were like, all right, you got it. And I lost my mind and, you know, ran around the house and, you know, like our apartment. I was just like, ah. But yeah. Then when I went back in, I was like, all right, now let's record it. And they were like, we're moving on. And I was like, what do you mean? And they basically used my audio from my audition, which was insane to me. It wasn't the audition I sent in, but the one I did in studio, like the callback. And so I was like, okay, are you sure? But I guess it worked. And but anyway, to answer your question, there's no visuals up front other than I got to see the art, which they showed me like very cheekily. They were like, this is what he looks like. And I was like, wait, no. So I only got like a very brief, blurry picture of him. And then like a year or two later, maybe I got to see some sort of close to final animation, but not the full thing. This is one of the longest shows I've ever worked on as far as like time to take animation, because it's so beautiful and so rich. Same with Voltron. Took a very long time to get
love
animated.
Love Voltron, by the way.
I'm great obsessed job on with that Voltron.
One. You Thank killed you. That
yeah.
one. Yeah.
It's funny, like my brain, I totally forgot that I was like, oh yeah, I'm on Voltron too. That show is, I love that show so much. But I don't even know if I answered your question.
I get it. I just been curious about that too, man. Like, because when they mentioned, Disney said, okay, we're bringing back X-Men 97. Even though voice acting back in the 90s is very different than now. So
yeah,
you had to learn from that, for like the 90s style, right? So it can make it, you know, similar to like the one from back in the days. So that's why I was wondering if you got to see the animation, did that help and stuff like that? That's why I was very curious about that.
It's funny because, yeah, there's definitely like there's a Shakespearean theatrical aspect to the original characters, which so works with the tone and the broadness of the like what they're dealing with. But yeah, kind of trying to find the middle ground between, I mean, luckily Gambit's always absurd and always kind of this fun, ridiculous character that he's kind of set in stone. There's not too much you can do to make Gambit different, or I wouldn't want to. But with like Cyclops, I know with Ray, they had a whole thing where they were trying to figure out the right balance of like Boy Scout and serious, and I think him and like Jennifer Hale, who does Jean Grey, sort of nails the tone of it's not grounded in the way that you would imagine like a serious film. There's more to it that I feel like you have to figure out and understand what's too much, what's just right. And I mean, it's incredible to listen to them, you know, the more serious characters like Jean and Scott. They're grounded, but there's this elevatedness that fits so well with the original series, but is also kind of modern. And it's same with Jubilee. Jubilee, Holly, who does Jubilee, I feel like nails it, where it's she's still Jubilee, but she's more grounded in a way that is again, it's not about the performance so much as our modern sensibilities, like where if you watch a performance from the 50s, it's so great for the time, but there's a different kind of way people hold themselves. And in the 30 years, you know, things feel a little different. Like Spider-Man, you think about like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man versus Spider-Man now, just a totally different tone and style of acting that is felt real at the time, but now is its own thing. And it's great, but it's different.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I was gonna mention too, man, like seeing the reviews when it first popped up, I'm like, oh my Nuts. God, this is the highest that I've seen of any show from Disney Plus so far.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
And I was talking this to my co-host Paris. He wanted to be here too. He's a huge fan of the X-Men 2 show.
Oh, like I'm sorry.
Hopefully you can meet him one day. But yeah, we also, yo, I remember when Voltron came out, we were always calling each other up like, yo,
episodes. That's awesome.
Yeah, we love it. We love it.
Oh, but anyways, dude, that's so cool. I didn't realize that. I didn't know. That's super cool.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I have the original DVD series from like the old 80s Voltron. So I still have
that's
it.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So it's cool.
I was going to say,
like, I put this show up there with two other shows that I love, which is WandaVision and also Loki series.
Yeah.
So seeing
That's awesome.
Seeing the reviews from like the fans and also from the media, high scores when they came out. How was like your reaction seeing all this, man?
It's a relief. It's such a funny thing because you're like, oh my God, thank God. They love it. They get it. The team nailed it. Because I knew at the time, I was like, this is really good. I was like, if people don't like this, I'm going to be so confused about what my own taste is. You know? And I'd only gotten to see snippets, but I was like, God, this is good. And it's surprising because you never know. I mean, you read a script, you see animatics, you see things through the process, and you never know how things will change. I mean, it's so common in media where someone has a great idea and it gets turned into something that's totally not what they wanted. And you hear directors talk about it all the time. But the fact that it made it through and it's so good is not only, it's two things. It's like, holy crap, thank God, but also, all right, now we got to maintain this. And, you know, thankfully, I'm not in any position to write. Voice actors are weird because we're basically like the last ones to show up. But I feel like to some degree, we get the most almost undeserved praise where it's like, yeah, all I do is this. And then I disappear. I don't ever really get to meet the writers and stuff, which is a shame. But they're the ones that have all the pressure on them. And from what I know, I'm hoping people will be pretty pleased because it is like talking about a labor of love doesn't even cut it. Like it's a labor of insanity because it's so. I don't even know how to say it, but like there's Easter eggs that are not even Easter eggs. They're just, they understand every fiber of it and the connective tissue of from like the Jean Grey's doll, the Cyclops doll, the fact that she has that again in the newest episode. And that's something she had in the original series. Like it goes beyond Easter egg. It's just attention and love and reverence for what came before in a way that's not trying to show you an Easter egg. It's just, yeah, that is what it is. I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just good. They're so good.
Yeah, it's so
They're
good.
Doing such a great job. It's crazy.
Yeah, let me tell you, like I love the first three episodes. I can't wait. Every Wednesday, every Thursday? Or is it, I think it's every Wednesday.
For me, at midnight at Tuesday at midnight is where I'm like, I'm up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I watch it with my wife, and we loving this show, man.
It's awesome.
It's so good, man. Props to you, man.
It's a ride. It's a ride. It's funny, too, to see because I know, obviously, what's going on. People being upset about certain things. They're like, oh, I hope this doesn't happen, or I hope this happens, and people speculating, and I'm just like, kind of grinning like an idiot where I'm like, man, this is, as someone who watched like Game of Thrones and all that stuff, you're making all these theories, but I now kind of see a little bit of what's going to happen. And it's so fun to watch people be happy and upset and it's all these reactions that you want out of an audience where it's like, they believe it, you know, it's so cool. Again, nothing to do with the writing, but as a small piece of this.
Yeah.
So exhilarating.
Yeah. I was going to ask you you don't have to say fully, but like when you work on a project like this, you don't know about the other character. You only know about your character, right? So there's probably stuff when you're watching, like, oh my God, I didn't know that was going to happen, right? Like while watching the first three episodes,
I didn't know anything about Madeline Pryor, because that whole thing, I'm not involved in that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's bits and pieces, but as far as like when Scott and all them go off to Sinister's mansion, I didn't know anything about that. They're very, because of the nature of the show and because of how high profile it is, it's also very, very protected. So there are things if I'm not in an episode, I don't really know what happens because they're not going to just send me that script. So it's same thing with Voltron too. It's the same way where it was like, yeah, I would be surprised by things. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they were going to a mall. Because like Lotor wasn't in the mall at all, so
yeah.
It's as a fan too, it's really cool to not know everything because I certainly don't want to know everything. I want to be surprised too.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I was gonna ask, man. imagine knowing everything. You're like, oh man, I can't even watch this.
I know. I always feel bad for like, I feel like Mark Hamill would love Star Wars if he wasn't in Star Wars. And I know he does love Star Wars, but not in the same way. Like if he was just a fan, he would be the biggest nerd for Star Wars. And I feel like he was sort of robbed in some ways of getting to have that experience of getting to watch Star Wars without being involved. So I feel lucky that I don't have to have that problem. I could just watch it and be like, this is great. It's like reading a comic or watching the original show.
Yeah. Well, my last question, I know probably the fans, you know, they're listening to this. Oh, they're wondering is, you know, while taking a break from work, working all the time, is there anything that you've been playing like gaming wise for you or what?
Yeah, on and off. It's Lies of P took over my life.
Great game.
Did you play it? Okay, James and I were obsessed. Where it was like, it got to the point where we both platinumed it because we were sort of like toxically egging each other on to just keep going with, you know, it was just like, dude, did you get this? Oh, I didn't get all the records. So then, yeah, I got to like my 4.5 playthrough or something like that. And I finally got the last record and I was like, okay,
nice,
I'm done. But then I heard there was DLC and I was like, no, yes.
So that's the one that you've been playing the most recently, or?
Yeah, I wouldn't say. Okay, so that's not the most recent, but it's my biggest obsession. And then I've been playing this game called The Last Faith, which is like a 2D side-scroller Metroidvania that I've kind of been in and out of. And then what else? Yeah, I tried playing the first Psychonauts because that's James's like favorite game of all time, and he's always talking about it. So I was like, all right, I'll try this, which is cute. I love me a like PS1 style game. I'm trying to think. That's kind of it. I've mostly been working on stuff at night, or we're watching Buffy for the first time.
Yeah,
so that's been my like nighttime thing. Is like, oh, put Buffy on, and we'll
That's good. That's good. Now, AJ, I just want to say, man, thank you for doing this. I know this was like super last minute.
No, anytime. I mean, you're a friend, so it's all good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone and that I go to Halloween Horror Nights with has carte blanche.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what we got to do next time in the future. If there's any other big projects that, you know, that's official, is already announced, I would love to have you on here. And especially from the gaming side, too, man. We would love to have you on here and talk about that stuff, man. Yeah.
Cool. I can't remember what I'm working on. But yeah, hopefully something soon at some point.
We'll make it happen for sure. We'll talk about it. All right. Thanks a lot.
Dude, thanks so much.
Facebook and follow us on Twitter.